Blog Talk Radio.
No rules?
Hell no, just do the damn thing. No rules.
Countdown.
Plus, five, we'll start adding people to the park.
Three.
You got a problem with it?
Six, one.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I was so excited when I was asked to be the host of the Every Woman Talk Show.
What is going on and why y'all making so much noise?
I think it's a forum where we get a chance to express everything.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
You can't get one point of view. You have to get both points of view.
Hey, what? People going crazy over this?
Talk about all kind of things. So it's a show I think that everybody would like to listen to. So listen in.
Just do the damn thing.
Good evening, good evening. Yes, 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 yes. Another Tuesday night with the Every Woman Talk Show. I am your host, Uri Wells. Thank you for tuning in. I first want to say I hope everybody's Valentine's Day was wonderful. I hope everybody had a great time. I hope everybody got everything they were looking for. Hope everybody got anything they were looking for. If not, don't give them any. That's my motto. You don't get what you want, you get none. But we're going to jump into some serious stuff tonight. You know me. Once again, you know I say this all the time. This show is not for everyone. If you don't like the way I speak, if you don't like the views that I put out, don't listen. Don't listen because it's a show that's real. I keep it real. I say what's on my mind. Whatever comes out of my mouth, that's what it is. So the show is not for everyone. However, I would hope that we are mature enough to be able to respect each other's opinions and each other's lifestyles and whatever it may be and come together as one to get some information out there for the people who need it. So I was home one day.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, boy. My producer is a nut. I was at home one day and I was sitting here and I was talking to some friends. And, you know, we're quick to talk about brothers on the down low. Oh, that nigga's a gang, that nigga's a fag, that nigga's gay. Oh, please. We always are targeting the brothers for being on the down low. Do we ever talk about the women who are secretly on the down low, who are secretly seeking out women when they are married or have a boyfriend, have families? Do we talk about that? How can we talk about one without bringing up the other? And who do we think one is more wrong for doing it than the other? We know it's a double standard in this world when it comes to men and women. We're very much aware of that. You know, a man, when he has multiple women, he's the man. A woman who has multiple men, she's a trick. So we already know there are double standards. But when it comes to something like that, when you're not true to yourself and the person you're with, I think both are just as wrong for doing that. I think both are just at fault for pretending to be something that they're not. So we want to talk about what you think. How do you feel about that? And also, I wanted to hear some of my gay listeners and my bisexual listeners or whoever, you know, I got a bunch of friends, Rainbow Coalition, you know, I got y'all back. I want to hear about what y'all think about in this day and age. Why is it so hard for some men and women to still come out? What's preventing them from being who they are? Or is there a way that maybe we can tell them how to do it or help them come out and tell who they are and share who they are? And why are we still living in these fantasy worlds of, you know, I'm a husband and I have 7 kids and I'm married and I'm in love and I'm happy? No, you're not. No, you're not. Same thing with women. So what do we do? How do we address this? How do we make it easier for them? And what still in this day and age is the problem that's at hand? Like now, today, I don't think anybody should be able not to tell who they are and what they prefer and what they don't like and what they like and who cares who likes it. Who cares who likes it? So I want to hear some of that from my listeners. You know, come on, call in. We can't do this by myself. I tell you all the time. It takes a village to raise a family, but it takes my listeners to run the Every Woman Talk Show. So call in. So, Matt, what do you think?
Here we go. Oh, man, this is... I will be a pro at this because I'm not on a down low. I'm a heterosexual male, but I definitely think that we have some listeners out there that can definitely chime on who lives the gay life, who could be honest about it. I mean, my only take, like we talk behind the scenes, is be true who you are. I mean, if that's the lifestyle you want to live and that's what you embrace and that's who you are, be that. Whoever you are, just be who you are. Don't be phony. And I think gay, heterosexual, whatever you are, just be true to who you are. I mean, that's really my take on this whole thing. And also let your partner know what's going on.
The biggest thing for me is we talk about cheaters. Well, okay, cheaters are dead wrong, bum asses for doing it. But when you're talking about now someone who is bringing in, for me, it's no different. Sex is sex to me. Diseases come in all shapes, form, and fashion. They come from everybody. So for me, it doesn't mean, and I have a caller calling in that's going to give us some information about this because, it's we keep thinking that certain diseases are only spread through if he on a down low and he messing with a girl. No. Because that can come from a heterosexual relationship, too, from doing some other things that you shouldn't have been doing or having multiple partners and that person having multiple partners and that person having multiple partners. So for me, diseases are diseases and they come from, every type of relationship, all types of relationships. And women are under the misconception that because they're dating other women, they can't get certain things because there is no other stuff involved. Well, that's a lie, too. All those things are so untrue. Yes, it is easier to get HIV through sexual contact versus oral contact because it's not, they say it's not as easy to catch it through oral contact, but however you can. You can also catch VD. You can also catch chlamydia. You can also catch all the other different crazy-ass things out here through oral contact, not just through sexual contact. So I can't wait for him to call in and give us some statistics on that and tell us a little bit more about that. But I'm just interested in knowing that in this time and age, you should be more concerned about you being happy than what someone thinks about you. We have jobs who now accept it. Your mother may not accept it. Yeah, your mother, father may not accept it. But you know what? You have to live your life for you. You can't worry about what someone else thinks or what someone else feels because in the end, you're going to be the one unhappy. They're moving on with their life and they're doing what they need to. Listen, we see our mother and father doing things that we may not have been happy they were doing or didn't agree with some of the moves they made financially when we were kids or whatever the case may be. But they moved on with their life. They did what they needed to do. You need to do the same thing. Definitely. You need to be able to come out and say, you know what, this is my preference, and then that's the way it is. Now, I'm a little confused sometimes when it comes to bisexuals. I'd like to understand more about that, because if you like men, then why do you like women? And if you like women, then why do you like men? So, you know,
Sorry. Yeah, you have your guest online. We'll bring him on.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I'll let you do the introduction.
Hey, Art.
Hey, lady.
Hi,
how
honey.
Are you?
I'm good, sweetie. This is Art Jackson, and Art is a dear friend. I think we've been friends like over 30 years. And I wanted him to talk on the show today because he can really give us some information that we don't know. And we don't know because sometimes we don't want to know. We try to, you know, we hide behind things and we don't want to know certain things. So I want you to jump in. Just give us some information about what you do and the information you have, and we'll go from there.
Okay, my name is Art Jackson. I'm born and raised in Orange. I'm an Orange boy from the dirt. And what I do currently now, I do public health. I work specifically in the field of HIV and AIDS. I'm one of the President's Advisory Council. I actually was named one of the top 100 in my field, and the only person, I currently live in North Carolina, but the only person in North Carolina that was selected. And I'm an advocate for those living. What I love about what I do more than anything is about trying to help educate our people on understanding the risks that we face. And it is about being honest and open about who you are, especially in 2015.
Absolutely.
It's not about labels. It's just about being honest. And one of the reasons why we have such a epidemic in our community, and what I mean by epidemic is, out of the 70,000 new infections that we had last year in this country, 75% of them were African-American. And out of that 75%, 64% of them were African-American heterosexual youth between the ages of 13 and 24. So, you know, it's no longer just them over there. It's all of us that are being infected.
Absolutely.
And we have to be honest about sexuality in the black community. We have to be honest about black male sexuality and masculinity. What does that mean? And how does that affect how we have relationships with each other? We have to have relationships about black women and our sisters. Just accepting what these brothers say and taking it verbatim, you know, and trusting and putting their lives in these brothers' hands
for them.
Because they love them, but not loving themselves enough to say that I need to know your status. And even for our brothers that get locked down, I'm not saying that brothers that are on lockdown, all of them engage, but I do know that there's a lot of situational sex that goes
on.
And these brothers come home, and they don't believe, because they had situational sex there, that they were really at risk for anything. And they don't have these open conversations, and our women don't feel like they can have these conversations with the brothers because they don't want to
or
make them feel any kind of way. But it's a conversation that we're not having, and because we're not having, we're seeing our black women. The only women whose race continually rise every year are black women. The only race that continually rise every year are black men. And it's actually the number two killer of African Americans between the ages of 25 and 44. So HIV and AIDS is killing us at astronomical numbers, and yet we aren't having these conversations. We're not honestly having open conversations about what it is to be gay, what it is to be bisexual, what it is to be, you know, asexual, whatever, transgender, whatever it is that we need to have
whatever
a conversation. We're not, because we get so caught up in this spiritual, oh, well, God made this. Well, God made, I'm made in God's image, and I don't believe that God makes any mistakes. And if God doesn't make any mistakes, and I'm made in His image, then
who are we to judge? In every religion, from as far as I understand, there is no judgment that should be passed, because at the end of the day, you come in this world alone, and you end this world being alone. And He then makes the decision of whether He's going to forgive you for what you've done or what you haven't done. And guess what? Being gay ain't one of the biggest sins you could possibly make. Or being a prostitute is not one of the biggest sins you could possibly make. We don't. We are not here to judge what's the biggest sin. He is. He is.
And I just believe that, you know, when I meet him, I'm going to have to atone for that. And if whatever
Absolutely.
Decision that he makes with that is going to be between him and I. And he's not
going
to say to Jew, well, Jew, what do you think about Mark? You know, he's going to be like, Jew, you need to be concerned about Jew.
But your own shit,
you
That's right.
I'm going to have to look at you, where your stuff out,
and we're
going to have to see with that. So, you know, I believe that platforms like this are very important because I do believe even if one person hears us and one person says, you know what, I'm going to go get tested, I'm going to know my status. If one sister hears us and she says, I'm going to take care and make sure that I do everything that I can to make sure that I'm okay and make sure that my family's okay, then we've affected a positive change. I worked so hard, especially in the minority communities, and I'm from the hood, so I believe that I have to give back more to people where I come from. So I've been blessed.
What do you think is the biggest problem? Our fear of knowing their status and our fear of losing them, our fear of knowing our own status? You know, why do you think we don't say, you know what, before we take this to the next level, to the next step, we need to do this together as a couple. You know why I feel like that? Because we don't date anymore. There's no dating. See, in order to do that, in order to say you and I need to go get tested together and figure out where our status are together and see where we're going, we need to be dating. This needs to be some time invested in this. There is no time invested in relationships. We meet you, we go to the movies, we go to dinner, we fucking. That's the problem.
Yeah. And a lot of it is we don't want to get tested because if you get tested, then you're held accountable. If I know my status,
absolutely,
then I'm held accountable for my actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be held accountable for my actions because if I never go get tested, then I, even though I engage in a whole lot of high-risk behavior, if I never go get tested,
you can
then
still
I never
say you
have
didn't
to be
know.
Held accountable.
I didn't know.
I never have to say I know my status, and so I don't have to use a condom. I don't have to tell you what's going on. But if I get tested and I'm found out to be positive, then it all changes. I have to disclose my status. See, for me, I'm very open about me being HIV positive. Like I said, January 6th made 26 years for me. I was given 3 months to live when I got my diagnosis. I've never been sick, never been hospitalized. I know that God has me here for a purpose.
And you know what your purpose is.
To stand up and to say, you know, this is the face of HIV. I could be your brother. I could be your son. I could be your nephew. I could be any of those things.
And there's no way to look at you and tell that. There's no way to look at you and say, hey, look a little squishy. There's no way. There's nothing about you that says that. There's nothing about you that says that. And that we talk about that all the time. And that's why I think I wanted to do this show, because we have this misconception, like I said. We have this misconception that, you know, when men do things, it's wrong. But when women do it, it's okay. It's not, because if you are doing something that's risky, that is jeopardizing someone else's life, now listen to this, and I understand it wholeheartedly. You are responsible for your own life.
You are responsible
for your own life. However, when another person knows they're living wrong and they've lived wrong, then we need to be accountable for what we do, too.
Yeah, and especially with black women. Let me say another big fact about black women. Black women are the caretakers. They are the ones who take care of the families. And what I found is with a lot of my black women clients is they are so concerned about taking care of everybody else that they put themselves on the back burner. And my thing to black women is, okay, you can put yourself on the back burner, but if you get sick and something
happens
to
happen?
What's going to happen to your babies?
Right.
What's going to happen
to
your family? So it's vitally important that you do what you need to do for yourself. I mean, today is not like it was 20 years ago or 30 years ago with HIV.
Right.
All you have to do is get into care, and I take one pill a day. One pill a day, and it keeps me healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
let me ask you a question. When you found out your status, we're talking 26 years ago, which means you were 26 years younger.
Yep, I was 24.
Not as mature as you are today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when did it hit you to say, well, you know what, I have to be honest about what's going on, and I have to make sure that the person who I am going to engage and when did it hit you where you had to say, you know what?
Well, you want to know, one of the biggest things, and I have to say this, is that I have an amazing family, and I have amazing friends that I can say, like you and your sister and people that have been in my life, who, when I found out and I told my mother and them, I told my mom first, and this is what my mom said. She said, so what you going to do? And I'm crying. I'm like, what you mean? I'm going to die.
Right.
She said, okay, but what you going to do? And
right.
I'm like,
what
well,
you
I'm going to die. And she's like, well, what you going to do in the meantime? I said, and I sat there for a minute, and I thought, and I said, well, I guess I'm going to have to live. And she said, yes, baby, sometimes it might be a second at a time, but that's all you can do. And I want you to live proudly, and I want you to stand up.
Uh-huh.
And since that time, once I knew that my mom and my family had my back,
I didn't care what
anybody else said. I had friends that told me, I don't care. I'm still going to hug you. I'm still going to kiss you. You're still welcome in my house. I still love you, and I'm going to support you. I didn't care, like, because those people that fell off, those were my
friends. They
were
supposed to be there to begin with. They were there to begin with. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do we teach? Because, see, the biggest problem for me, I think, now is our youth sort of doing this secret living, secret, you know, backdoor living. How do we teach them that it's okay? It's okay to be who you are. It's okay to be who you are. Like, I know for men it's so much harder than it is for women because everything is so double standard in our world. It is.
But a lot of it comes from our images of masculinity, of sexuality. We have a lot of religious bias. It's a shame, but we do. We have a lot of religious bias. We have a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but don't act Christ-like. We have a lot of people who claim to be a lot of things, but don't.
Right.
When it comes down to it. You know, it's all about the image and not about the actual act. You know, I just try and get people to understand that, you know, for me, I don't have any other choice but to be who I am. And, you know, I came out in 1979 at 13 years old.
I said to the producer, I've wanted on the show because he's never had a problem with his sexuality. It is what it is.
And yes, I had to fight. I had to fight, had to go through it. But Joker and my brothers and my cousins and brothers, they understood that I wasn't going for nothing.
This is who you are. Right.
I wasn't going for nothing. Hold on 1 second, please.
Yes. So, you know, we're talking to Arn Jackson, and, you know, just listening to some of the things he's saying, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to really, like, bring this up, because we are living in a society now where it's very easy to be accepted for who you are, HIV positive or not, heterosexual or gay, it doesn't matter. So all this download stuff, I'm just so confused because it's unnecessary to do these things when society has already opened up the door and said, listen, whoever you are, whatever it is, you know, of course everyone in your circle is not going to understand and accept it. We know that. We get that.
Yeah.
But that's a chance you got to take in order to be who you are.
Yeah. And what I've learned is, like, again, those people that fell off, those people weren't that important because for me, if you really cared about me, if you love me, you're going to love me for who I am.
For whoever
I am.
You're
not going to love me for who you want me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I'm going to love you for who you are, not for who I want you to be. And I'm going to love you through your struggles. I'm going to love you through your triumphs. And I'm going to love you through your failures.
Right.
You know, that's what family and friends do. That's how we stand
Absolutely.
Up. And again, I think a lot of it comes from, you know, too many times we get caught up in the minutiae and get caught up in, oh, well, that ain't what I'm about. Well, and let me share this. Most black men who are secure in who they are have never had a problem being around me or talking to me or being in my presence. Because if you are secure in who you are, can't nobody else come around you and
you're just another man.
Being with a man, I don't care how many gay men come around you. If that's not where you're at, you ain't going to
have a problem.
It's not
going to
be a problem. It's the ones that, honestly, it's the ones that do have an issue or who've had issues or who've had issues with, you know, feelings and not knowing how to process those
feelings because of
society. And how do you, how do I say I saw this guy and I was a little, and something about that guy turned me on. I ain't gay, but it was, you know, how do you have those conversations?
How do black men have those conversations? I had a shell-shocked moment for me. I think it was in the 80s, like mid-80s, and I have a cousin and Phil. She lives in California now, and then her best friend, Derek, is gay. He's always been gay as far back as I can remember. I love Derek to death, and they said, come on, let's go out. I was like, okay, come on, we'll get dressed and go out. Never asked where we were going because it didn't matter. We were just going out. As I'm in line, I'm looking around. I'm saying to myself, something's a little strange about this club. Still never dawned on me. We get in the club, and then I see, you know, brothers holding hands, and brothers kissing, and sisters holding hands. And I'm talking about drop dead brothers that you would think was, like, you know, into boxing and this and that. And I'm like, okay. So it was a gay club that we went to. Not that I have ever, or you know, I ain't never had a problem, but I didn't know where we were going, so it was a little, still like a shell shock to me. I'm like, okay, not my stereotype of gay men are only the men that I knew, not the men that I saw. So for me, it was like, oh, okay, all right. So we come in all shapes and forms and fashions and everything else, because I didn't see that. I didn't see us going out to the clubs. You never saw the tough guy admitting he was gay. You didn't see that. You did not see it. He didn't see it. So it was like, okay. And I'm like, shit, he definitely could have came home with me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, it was really, really a shell shock to me. And as we're there, and we're dancing, and we're playing, and whatever, talking or whatever. So, you know, chick come up to me, oh, you're pretty. I was like, eh, don't get down like that. Yeah. But that's it. Don't get down like that. That's it. We good. We cool. But it was never, like, he didn't push up on me continuously. Once I said, no, we good, I'll get down like that, it was it. That was it. So you, there's no reason to have fear in being around someone that doesn't believe or doesn't do the same thing you do, because once you say that, 99% of them will back off and leave it alone, because if you ain't about the life, you ain't about the life.
Yeah.
You ain't about it.
And even when you know, sometimes, because you have some people that might be a little persistent, but you just have to be able to put your foot down and say, now, I done told you that that's not where I'm at. Now, you can continue to disrespect me, but please understand that there are consequences behind all actions, good and bad. Now, I'm giving you the opportunity to make this right by respecting who I am and respecting what I say.
Well, I know for a fact that there are gay women who get a kick out of turning a straight woman out. I know that for a fact. I know a few who have done it, who have tried to do it. I know. So, but that's the game you're playing then.
That goes back to our time at Zanzibar and all of that. We've seen it.
Absolutely. You know, and it's a game. It's a game. Yeah. But you're still, once again, messing with somebody's life.
Yep.
Playing with somebody's heart. Playing with somebody's life. You know, and then, now you have turned this girl out. She had no, clearly, it doesn't mean that she always not thinks of women, because that's not always true. Not true. You could have just been that one that did it for her. And then, you know, so now she has to go and deal with her family dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't really want to, because it was just something that you were trying to conquer. So, I mean, this thing is so much bigger than what we would ever think it is. And my whole thing, like I said, with family members are, we will say to our girls, you know, I ain't happy about it, but okay. But we'll say to our men, are you serious? You this and you that and you this and you that. And I'm like, that's why our young boys are so undercover with it, because we won't allow them to come out and be who they are.
And
we won't allow it.
With my dad, now, I'm going to share this. When I told my family that I was gay, my dad was crushed. My dad was crushed. But you know what he shared with me? He shared with me, he said, I always raised my boys, because I have, it's five boys. He said, I've always raised you all, A, to be honest and to be true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't understand it and I don't like it, but you're my son.
But he had to respect it.
And I love you because you're my son. All that I ask All that I ask is that you always remember whose son you are and respect that. So
mm-hmm.
that's why I never went in the streets and disrespected myself, because I knew I not only represented who I was, but I represented
your
my
family
mother,
too.
My father, and my grandparents, and I would
right.
never want to bring any shame or disrespect onto them.
Right, right, absolutely.
So it's important. That was important. But, you know, again, you know, I have amazing cousins, and I will share this. You know, they didn't like it or whatever, but they didn't let nobody bother me. And,
right.
and they made sure
right.
that if something happened, I wasn't running.
Right.
And you
right.
know, I might have to, I had
right.
to fight.
Right.
But you know what? You ain't running. You ain't ashamed. There ain't going to be no shame.
You got to deal
you,
with it.
You
got to deal with it.
You ain't going for that.
You got to deal
so,
with it. So what do you think about?
You can get
you,
it one way or another. You can be peaceful, because
right.
I understand peace, but
right.
I also understand war. So you can
agree
whatever
that's
way
that's right.
you want.
Either way. How
yeah.
do you feel about the men and women who, Nancy with the clashes made me lose my train of thought. How do you feel about the men and women who are bisexual then? Because I said earlier in the show, I don't know if you were listening, but
yeah,
I'm almost 50 years old, this time I'll be 50 years old, and after having some amazing friends who are on both sides of the fence, I'm still confused about the bisexual thing.
Well, you know what? I never understood bisexual. I love men. That's what it is. I'm not going to freak with that. And I've never wanted to disrespect any woman by acting as if that's where it was. That's why,
right.
let me say this too. I never liked when D.L. King and Oprah had him on her show and he had to down low brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of the biggest things that has hurt the black community, because it
mm-hmm.
gave gay men, because I believe if a man has sex with a man, you're gay. That's just
gay.
Old school. That's just how I think.
You're gay.
And so,
yes.
you know, I think when we came up with that D.L. label, it
mm-hmm.
gave brothers an opportunity to engage in gay sex, but not
mm-hmm.
call it gay. Call it something,
mm-hmm.
oh, no, that's just my DL
mm-hmm.
part. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? So it gave them an
mm-hmm.
out to not have to identify with the lifestyle.
With being gay.
Not
mm-hmm.
have to identify with the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? It gave
mm-hmm.
them an out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions. So I always say when people say bisexual, I just say bisexual is confused. Bi-confused. You're just confused. You're just trying to have your cake
and
eat it too.
Because if you're attracted to men,
you're not trying to be
how you're
committed.
Attracted to women. And if you're attracted
yeah.
to women, how you're attracted to like
exactly.
I'd even ask gay women. I'd even ask them, if you are attracted to a very masculine-looking man, then why don't you just date men? Okay, I got the answer I was looking for. They don't like penis. They don't like dick.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. They don't mind the masculine side of it, but they don't like the. But then you strap on, and you do that. So I'm so freaking confused about the whole shit. I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And like, it's so funny because I had a girl who used to work for me, and she's always, I'm going to get you. I said, but you could do nothing for me. Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. Oh, please, if I strap on, that's the whole point. I don't need you to strap. If I, you got to do all that, I stay where I'm at then. What am I coming to you? What in the world am I looking for with you? If I need penetration, you can't give it to me without strapping on. So why am I looking for a relationship with a woman who now has to strap on something that's not real to be
yep.
satisfied? I'm very confused. I'm very freaking confused. And I text so many of my friends today to come on the show and please explain these things to me, because I know I'm the only person out here that's confused. I can't be.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be the only person out here confused. I can't. And if you are attracted to men,
mm-hmm.
what can a woman do for you then? What can she do for you?
Yep.
Well,
I mean, a big part of it too was, you know, honestly, Jill, we grew up really, really, really fast. So we had some amazing people to mentor us who were a part of our lives, who didn't just let us be crash dummies, who taught us.
Yeah.
I think part of a big issue today is 80s young folks, They think they know anything. You can't tell them nothing. You can't really
mm-hmm.
have an honest conversation mm-hmm. with them because
mm-hmm.
they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear. They just think that the world owes me something. The world should be able to fall to whatever
mm-hmm.
I want it to be,
mm-hmm.
and that's what
mm-hmm.
it is. And again, even labels. Today, I'm in the South, and one of the things that's crazy about when we just talk about bisexuality, down here, a lot of my clients, they don't like labels. Today they'll have a boyfriend, tomorrow they'll have a girlfriend, and they don't see
right.
nothing wrong with it. Nothing.
They see nothing wrong
nothing.
With it. Right, right. And for me, it's just so confusing to me because it's like, I don't get it. I really don't get it. And I don't know anybody who I know, like directly know, who is, well, I do know somebody, but they won't call in, that's bisexual. Everybody I know is either I like that or I like that. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very straightforward, and that's it. Either I like men or I like women, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, for me, I just wanted to educate some people about it because we tend to, you know, for me, I'm like, you're fake. You're fake because you don't know what the hell you want. You just confused ass and you just want everything. You just greedy as hell because
yeah.
that makes no sense to me. It just makes no sense to me. And
well,
like I said,
that because if I can't find me a woman, then I can always,
go back to a man.
I got my whole card where I can always speak with this person until I find that woman that
mm-hmm.
I want. And then
mm-hmm.
I believe behaviors become habits.
Mm-hmm.
Even if sometimes, well, and what I mean by that is this. If you, engage in homosexual sex,
mm-hmm.
even if it's not something that you say that you want to do on a regular basis, you got you a woman, but every now and then you like you a boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I believe that kind of behavior becomes, it becomes more than just something that you
bit.
Want. It becomes more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes a habit.
It becomes more and more.
And then you're not living honest because you're not living honest to you. You're not living honest to that person that's
right.
loving you, thinking that
mm-hmm.
I'm loving this man, thinking that this is
mm-hmm.
my man, and
mm-hmm.
this man that I love has a
is
boyfriend on the
man.
Side.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman that I love has a girlfriend on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think the hyper sexuality that society puts on black men, the hyper masculinity that
mm-hmm.
black men have to deal with because we deal with a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that plays a role in it, but I think we still have not had honest conversations like this where we could sit down and say, "Yo, brother, when you see a gay man, what do you think? Do you think that every gay man that you see wants you?" Because a lot of brothers
mm-hmm.
that I talk to, that's what they think.
Mm-hmm.
They think
mm-hmm.
that as soon as I come into the room, that
mm-hmm.
I'm just so willy nilly that it's a man in the
you
room
just
now.
Any man,
this is
any, you just
a man that don't have a woman.
Any man, yes.
Any man.
That's like saying, any woman just wants any man. That's not true. We don't want just any man. Now, the other thing that I wanted to address since we're talking about it is when we have women who have cheated with another woman, the men normally, what hurts them is their ego.
Yeah.
They can get over that shit. They can get over it.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they feel like, I got to be two women now.
I'm going to get two now. Even though the other chick ain't interested in men, she only
mm-hmm.
interested in women, though.
Yeah.
But when a woman finds out that her man is sleeping with another man, that is, like, very different, very hard to accept, very hard to understand, and very hard to forgive.
Because I think a lot of that comes to, especially from a woman's point of view, I think it comes from to a place of how can I not be fulfilling enough for you that you would go to another
man.
And men feel that too.
That's what I said. Their ego is
mm-hmm.
shattered because what can she do for you that I'm not doing for you?
Yeah.
And then I hate to hear women say, I can do this because I'm a woman, so I know what you like. Clearly, you don't know what the hell I like because you like you don't like what I like. So clearly, that's
whole
not
thing
true.
Of gay women trying to turn out straight women, the games that they play, because like we saw it plenty of times,
mm-hmm.
and I've never understood that either, the game
mm-hmm.
of that, because, again, it is about emotions, and it is about you get this woman all caught up in
mm-hmm.
this, and then you drop them. And then,
mm-hmm.
They're really hurt because they've been hurt
and
by
confused.
Brothers. And then they're hurt by this woman who only
mm-hmm.
was playing with them because they were hurt by brothers, and then they become angry and bitter. It's a vicious cycle, and then it makes it bad because then they look at, oh well, it's all gay men or all gay folks that act like that, and it stops us from having conversations. It stops us from and then the church. Again, I will say this: I do believe that the Black Christian church has been the biggest impediment to sexuality in our community. I just believe that. I believe, when I say Black Christian church, I mean that because I've come across Muslim brothers, I've come across Buddhist brothers, I've come across Jewish folks, I've come across people of other faiths where it's not, it's a sin to them, but they're able to look at the person and not judge the person by the sin. It's only in the Black Christian church, and in the Christian church period, that they equate homosexuality as the greatest sin that you can achieve, but they don't look at murder, they don't look at capital. You say the same thing, the same conversation, but do you believe in capital murder? Yeah, I believe in capital murder. So you believe in murder, even though God said don't murder, but you don't. But you can believe in that, but you can't believe, or you can believe all of these things, but when it comes to sex and sexuality, it's one of the biggest things you can get.
Hello?
Yeah, it seemed that we lost him. I guess he'll call back in a minute.
We'll wait for Ari to call back in, but, I mean, I hope this is, I'm just, my mouth is open because I really don't know. I'm still confused. So, I mean, I was hoping that we had some more open people to call in and talk about this and share their experience and share their lives. But clearly, once again, what we talked about is what it is. We're still so closed-minded, so closed-in. We don't want to share things, you know. I mean, my thing, too, with the show is nobody can see who you are. And if you don't want to give your name, don't give your name, but share. Share the information. Share your experience. Share what you've learned and what you know, because that helps the next person. What I was concerned about is our younger generation on this down low thing, not being able to express who they are and also spreading, you know, things around because they're living this mistake life.
Well, we have our guests back online.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. My phone died.
Oh, okay.
That's all right, brother.
Yeah. So, you know, we're back on talking about, you know, just being true to who you are. This show was designed to talk about, you know, brothers and sisters on the down low, who's more at fault, who's more wrong. It's a wrong or right, but it's not a who's more at fault, men or women. It's the society that makes it so easy for women to get away with things that it's not for men to get away with. So our young brothers don't know what to do with themselves.
And they have these
feelings.
And, you know, I had a chance to meet Barack and Michelle last year. Well, I actually have been to the White House 3 times, but I had a chance to go to lunch with them at luncheon, and we had a chance to actually talk.
Wonderful.
And, you know, for me, that was the highlight of my life because, first of all, I had a chance to break bread with the first Black president and his wife.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about honesty and openness. And I shared with her, Michelle, I was like, you know, one of the things that I've always tried to pride myself on is trying to live my life in truth. And in living my life in truth, I've not always made the best decisions. I've not always made the best choices for myself, but I always have tried to live in truth. And my truth is that, you know, I can only be the best me that I can be when I'm being honest and truthful about that. And what I've learned is when I try to hide and sneak and be deceitful and not be true, that the energy that it took, the pain that it caused other people was not worth it when I could just be honest and say, this is who I am, this is where I'm coming from. And let me share this. I come from a beautiful Black woman. My mom was a queen. My grandmother was a queen. My aunts are queens. My cousins, females. I love Black women. I revere black women because if it wasn't for black women, we would not will be where we are today. I applaud black women because they have held us down when nobody else has.
Right.
So it is not about hating my sisters. It's about loving my sisters enough to say, my sister, I love you enough to say that I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to deceive you. I'm not going to put you in a situation where you're thinking one way and my mind is someplace else.
Right.
So
right.
It's about living in that truth. And then living in that honesty, like I said, I've lost some people along on this journey. I've lost some people that were dear to me. But what I learned in this journey was those people, that they were there. Sometimes people are put in our lives for reasons and seasons. And when
Absolutely.
The season is over, we have to understand that that season is over. Let it go and keep moving in your truth. Keep loving in your truth. I think that we would be a lot better off if more people really engaged in that. I think that, and even, I see, one of the things I respect, too, is I respect those people who just can't get their heads around homosexuality. I respect that that's where they're at.
And that's what it is. You can't make somebody understand your fight. You can't make somebody understand. You can't. You just can't. You can't. And you know what? You can't make some white people understand what black people have been through. You can't. You just can't make somebody understand your fight. You can't. And you can't force it on them. And you can't force
it
on
them. We have to be respectful that that is where they're at. And in understanding that, saying, you know what, hopefully if I live a life of truth, if I live a life of righteousness, that they can see that, you know, even though I don't agree and I don't like that, I try to show people that in my choices, good human being, I'm a loving human being, I love my people. I love my people. I fight for my people. I stand up for my people. And in living that way, they can say, yes, I don't agree with that aspect of who Art Jackson is, but the man that Art Jackson portrays and who he has done and what he has done
for
his community,
for
the love that he had, I have to respect that aspect of it.
You know, what's funny is I watch Being Mary Jane. I don't miss it. I don't miss it at all. But last week I missed it. But I was watching some of it today, waiting for the show to come on. And what was it about? It was about the brother on there who is gay. He has a lover. And the lover is going off because he won't tell his parents he's gay. The father says to him, it's not about you being gay. It's about you lying. It's about you not being able to tell me the truth about who you are. I don't know who you are now.
Yep.
And that's what this whole show is about, truth.
Yep.
Not because living in behind these shadows and these curtains and these walls, truth.
Because we've had gay people in our lives forever. We had the uncle who had a roommate, and that was just his roommate. We had the aunt who had the person that lived in her house for years. And nobody ever talked about it. That's just aunt so-and-so's roommate.
Best friend.
You know, that's what it was. You know, you know, even with AIDS and HIV, even talking about that, we wouldn't even say, oh, he died of AIDS. Oh, he died of cancer. Oh, he died of it. He died.
Yes.
He had pneumonia.
Yes.
No, he had AIDS. He had AIDS.
Whatever complication took him out has nothing to do with it. The main source of it was HIV/AIDS. That's the bottom. And that's another thing. We don't want to. It is what it is. It is whatever it is. And you know, it's so funny that we're just still so afraid. As long as all this has been around, listen, they got more shit out here that's worse than AIDS now, so we need to really wake up and smell coffee, because they got so many diseases out here now that's taking you out so much quicker than that is. They have a gonorrhea that's taking you out in days.
Let me tell you something. The antibiotics, because we're taking so many antibiotics, but I don't know if you just saw this new report out of Cuba. They have a new strain of HIV in Cuba that's affecting. That's actually more strong. It's stronger. It's the strongest strain of HIV that they found, and it's affecting heterosexuals are getting it this strain, and not gay men. So And they're getting it, and once you get this trained, it's actually progressing to HIV, I mean, from HIV to AIDS at a faster rate. You actually go from 1 to 3 years once you get this trained that you'll have a full diagnosis of AIDS, whereas regular strains that we have in the States, it takes up to 10 years before you'll progress from HIV to AIDS. Now, for me, again, I don't know, I believe that I have, I'm walking on the shoulders of all of those angels that passed before me. And I think that, you know, that's why God, I can only say that God has me here to do the work, to stand up for those people that couldn't make it here. But, you know, I know that, you know, we were all doing the same thing. I'm only here, like I said, but by the grace of God, because when I got my diagnosis at 26 years ago, I was planning my funeral with my mother.
Right.
And I got to bury my mother. And like I said, I've never been sick, never been hospitalized, healthy. I get to travel all over the world doing what I love to do. I've got to go, I've gotten to be, you know, this being honest and open has opened so many doors. I have an amazing job. I get to meet amazing people. I get to affect change in my community. And not just in the African-American community, but I love my Hispanic brothers and sisters. I love my Asian brothers. I love my white brothers and sisters. But let me share this. I love my people. So I fight for my people first and foremost because I know we are always at the end of the totem pole. And I'm saying to anybody that's listening out there that we have to do better. We have to be more honest. We have to be able to engage and be able to agree. To disagree without being disagreeable.
Right.
And what I mean by that is we don't always have to see eye to eye, but we should always be able to look for solutions. My thing is I can always look at the problem, but what is the solution to the problem?
Right.
How do I affect positive change? I affect positive change by being around my strong brothers, African-American brothers and Hispanic brothers and Asian brothers and white brothers, and showing them that just because I'm gay does not mean that I want you. Does not mean that
mean
I'm trying to
man.
Hit on
it
you.
It still doesn't mean you're not a man.
Exactly.
And that's the
and
bottom
that's what
line.
It is.
Yes,
I am
because
a man.
You're still a man. You know, and I think that's and I don't care how feminine you could possibly be. In the end of the day, unless you have gotten surgery, you are still a man. You
and
are still a man, and you're going to respect me and speak to me
as such.
And I think that's
such.
The biggest problem for me is that we get so caught up on the bull that we don't look at you know, and women, even women who are very masculine, that you're still a woman, too. You're still a woman, too. You know,
and
I'll tell you,
that
bitch,
conversation
just like
with
I call
my
a bitch, you got lipstick on. You're still a bitch. You're a bitch. You're still a bitch. Yes. So,
I've had that
you know,
conversation with my lesbian sisters, like my sister. Yes, you might dress like a brother. You might get your hair cut like a
but
brother.
You are still a man.
Please
for I'm
me,
still
you
woman.
Are still a woman. And if you come up on a brother like you're a brother, and that brother
you
hits
get
you,
beat
you're
like a brother.
Differently. You are not a man. If a man hits a woman, we are built differently. You could,
we
I,
are
I
built
hurt
differently.
A woman a lot easier than a woman can hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm
mm-hmm.
not saying that women aren't strong. I'm not saying that women can't hurt me. But I'm saying that.
But we're not built that way. We're not built that way.
You're just not exactly. You're not built that way. So I always had, and that's one thing that my parents also taught us too. Even throughout it all, I thank God, my brothers, we do not hit women. We do not disrespect women. Because first of all, again, I believe in karma. I believe what you put out there, you get back.
And
for me,
disrespect
a woman. That means that somebody can disrespect a woman in my family, and I'm not going to have that. I've never had that. You're not going to disrespect my cousins. You're not going to disrespect my aunt. You weren't going to disrespect my mom or my grandmother because they have paid the cost of being black women to make sure that I had the love, support, and like I said, even my mom. I crushed my mom when I came out. I know that I hurt my parents. But I had to live in that truth. And they always taught us, if you have to be faking, my mom always shared this. She shared this with us. If I can't know who you are, then I can't defend you.
Right. Artie,
I want to
thank
you.
You. We have to get some closing remarks
exactly.
then because we're closing out. You know, this show is only an hour. It seems like it goes by so fast. It's unbelievable. Let me just ask my producer if he has any closing remarks he wants to say. Then, Artie, I'll get yours. Nash, you have any closing remarks you want to put out?
No, I was highly educated, you know. It's very important. All right, first of all, brother, I want to thank you for coming on the show, man. You opened my views on, you know, men that deals with living this lifestyle. And, you know, the honesty that should be brought forward. I really appreciate you, brother. So thank you, man. Awesome job.
I appreciate that.
Artie, any closing remarks you want to tell? We are definitely going to have Artie back on the show, guys, because I love him to death. So we're definitely going to have him back on the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for allowing me to share anything that I can ever do to support you and what you're doing. We need to talk offline because of my job and what I do, I can definitely probably try and get you some sponsorship and do some other things, but we need to talk about that. But
anything
that I can ever do to help you in any type of way, to help your audience. And if you ever if anybody that's out there that needs care or knows somebody that needs care, who are not in care, please get in touch with Jewel. Get in touch with the show. They can get the message to me. I know people in every state. I can get you into care. I can get you your meds. I can do whatever I can to get you healthy, because that's the most important thing. If you're in care and on meds, the chances of you dying from this disease decreases exponentially. Women who are pregnant, if you are in care and taking your meds, the chances of you passing the virus on to your child is less than 1% today. There is no need to be HIV positive and not doing what you need to do for yourself. So if nobody told you that they love you today, I send an agape love to you and your audience.
Aww.
I look forward to having this conversation again. Thank you
for
having me. And thank
you
for hearing.
I love you. I hope, you know, this was, you know, a show. I didn't want this. You know, our shows are all over the place. Sometimes we lash in our shows. Sometimes there's a bunch of gossip in our shows. Sometimes it's just about sex. I wanted this show to be a little different tonight. I hope it was. I hope we got some education out of it. I hope we got some understanding. I'm still a little confused with some things, but we'll come back to that another time when I get some of my punk-ass friends to call back in and give us some more information. But as always, this is the Every Woman Talk Show. I'm your host, Only Wells. I love you all. Thanks for listening in. Till next Tuesday.
Mad respect.
Thank you.
Bye. No rules?
Hell no.
Thanks
just
so much.
No rules.
Do you got a problem with it?
Ladies and you.
I was so excited when I was asked to be the host of the Every Woman Talk Show.
What is going on and why y'all making so much noise?
I think it's a forum where we get a chance to express everything.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
You are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
You can't get one point of view. You have to get both points of view.
Hey, what? People going crazy over this?
Talk about all kind of things. So it's a show I think that everybody would like to listen to. So listen in.
Just do the damn thing.